Smith coming to you live this Monday afternoon, the 29th of December, 2025. We've been away for a while, and it's been a very eventful week. Hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas. Here we're in this holiday dead zone between Christmas and New Year's. But there's a lot going on and a lot to cover. We've got big meetings in America from Zelensky and Netanyahu. We've got the Candace Owens saga that we can dip our toes into if we feel so compelled. And we'll be joined in the third hour by Casey Puch. He is running against Vivek Ramaswamy for the governorship of Ohio and has been making some very big waves and is really doing damage to the Vivek Ramaswamy establishment Republican campaign there. So we got a lot to get into and very, very big interview in the third hour. Let's get into it as we do every day with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch. For Monday, the 29th of December, 2025, Volodymyr Zelensky and Trump met at Mar-a-Lago, and they say they're closer than ever to reaching a peace deal. Upon greeting Zelensky at the entrance of the club, Trump projected optimism, telling reporters that the sides have the makings of a deal to end the war. After the meeting, Zelensky and Trump held a joint press conference that said progress was made on the 20-point peace proposal backed by the Ukrainian leader, but both noted more work was needed to end the conflict. Now, Russia has been pretty much winning consistently over the last little while. I believe they seized something like 30 Ukrainian settlements just in the month of December. So they're very much on the march. Now, Zelensky tried to assassinate Putin today by sending a bunch of drones to blow up his house. Of course, he's denied that, but it's pretty clear that they're not winning the war. So now they're trying to assassinate the enemy's leader, hoping that that will set things right. It won't. So, again, just can't wait to end that multi-billion dollar, many millions of death, complete cluster F. Meanwhile, Trump says the U.S. struck a big facility in their campaign against Venezuela. President Trump said in a radio interview that the United States had knocked out, quote, a big facility last week as part of his administration's campaign against Venezuela, an apparent reference to an American attack on a drug trafficking site. American officials said that Mr. Trump is referring to a drug facility in Venezuela and that it was eliminated but provided no details. Military officials said they had no information to share and the CIA declined to comment. The House also declined to comment. Okay, great. So that would be a pretty significant escalation in the war against Venezuela, going from the gunboat diplomacy of bombing accused drug runners to bombing Venezuela itself and accused drug operations there. Meanwhile, MAGA World zeroes in on Minnesota, Tim Walz, Ilhan Omar over fraud scandal. That's the way The Hill is putting it. And that is the, you know, general stance from people that don't want you looking into this. It's, oh, MAGA and Trump's allies have set sights on Venezuela in the wake of a fraud scandal in this state. Well, no, MAGA uncovered the fraud scandal, are investigating the fraud scandal, and revealing that we are just barely scratching the surface on the true size, scope, scale, and just true lawlessness of the fraud scandal. So yes, we're uncovering it, we're exploring it, and it's unraveling into not just the truly unimaginable amounts of fraud that are being uncovered, but also the very deliberate, like, political network that has been fostered and created by this fraud, that is funded by this fraud, and that is working overtime to conceal the fraud. We'll get back into that. Meanwhile, Trump has met with Netanyahu amid the Gaza peace plan discussions. Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is here once again in America to shake down Donald Trump and the American people. And they are live right now doing a press conference. We'll go to that on the other side of a short commercial break. But they are, you know, it's Groundhog's Day. It's the same thing over and 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 over forever. Yes, they're talking about Iranian nuclear capabilities. Although, as we've reported a week ago, the whole nuclear facility thing, it doesn't quite have the same oomph it once did. It sort of reeks of weapons of mass destruction. If the, you know, nuclear facility really is such a big deal, then what was the whole operation last year? But it's all sort of messy. So now they're moving to ballistic missiles, and Trump has responded to that, you know, guaranteeing that we would once again go to war in the Middle East for Israel, because everything we do is for Israel. Israel forever. All hail Israel. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. Remember, today is the last day, or rather, this ends tomorrow. The buy one, get one free select supplements. It's BOGO Supps. You know it well. But it's... it's BOGO Supps Plus. It's buy one, get one free supplements, but even better than normal, because it's not just buy a supplement, get the same supplement free, or buy a supplement and get a cheaper supplement free. No, you can buy the cheaper supplement and get the more expensive supplement free. So then today's your last day to do that. The sale ends tomorrow. Go today to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. I don't know what the schedule is exactly. But I'm not the only one, I'm sure, that's noticed this. It seems like for the last, I don't know, 4 years, 3 years or so, I guess we'll start with the beginning of the Ukraine war in earnest. There are three flashpoints for World War III, and it's, of course, Iran and Israel, Ukraine and Russia, China and Taiwan. And it seems like every time there's a flare-up in one of these, there's a flare-up in all three of these. And it's pretty constant. And I don't know what schedule they're going on. I guess I should go back, check my notes. Is it every 6 months? Is it every 3 months? It feels like they have some sort of schedule, because it's uncanny that at the same time that Zelensky is here in D.C. or here in America in Florida meeting with Trump in Mar-a-Lago to finalize the Ukraine-Russia peace deal, they're trying to assassinate Putin. At the same time, Netanyahu is coming to America, as we know, as has been explained by the Israeli media themselves, to try to get Trump to agree to yet another attack on Iran. And at the same time that these things are happening, Taiwan armed forces on high alert as China encircles World War III hotspot island and launches massive live fire drills. So again, I don't know what collaboration is going on at the highest levels, but it seems like every couple of months or so, all of the sudden, and in perfect orchestration, all three of these World War III hotspots suddenly become massively more dangerous and more immediate and intense. And then it sort of fades away. And then we talk about other stuff. And then all of a sudden, all three spots flare up again at exactly the same time. I don't know why exactly that is, but obviously the drive for World War III is not slowed down in the slightest. And the powers that be, who are depending on World War III to finish the job of eliminating once and for all, not just the people of Western Europe, but the ideas of freedom and individuality and, not being coerced or threatened by the state. Those ideas will die with them, and it will all, be consumed in a big blaze of glory, after which they can rule over the ashes forever as, humanoid gods uploaded to a machine. It's all disgusting and sick, but that's obviously the plan, and they're still pushing for it with everything they've got, even though the people of the world have largely woken up to this scheme and are dead set against it. So as we explained a week ago, when Netanyahu first announced he would be coming to the U.S., Israel is changing its tactic. Its ultimate goal has not changed in the slightest. Its efforts in the direction of greater Israel haven't slowed down at all. Now, Trump is both their greatest servant and bitterest enemy. And I know people have a hard time believing that, but it might be because you haven't really been paying that close of attention. People think that Trump is just wholly on Israel's side and does everything they want. And that is certainly the impression that comes across when you hear Trump talk about or with Netanyahu or rub each other's backs or whatever else they get up to. Clearly, that is the image that comes across. But if you're paying attention, you know that like what Trump did with Iran was not really what Israel wanted, was not satisfying to them. I don't think Israel wanted Trump smacking them around when it came to Qatar and forcing Benjamin Netanyahu to make an apology call to the Qatari president and then placing Qatar under our, you know, protective umbrella, preventing Israel action there in the future. Like, Israel doesn't want that. They don't want these things. They didn't want Gaza to be, you know, declared a ceasefire. They wanted to eradicate everybody living there. So Trump is not doing everything that they want. He is foiling them in certain regards. However, obviously, the control still exists, and it's still there, and it's still infuriating and constant. We're constantly reminded of this. So I understand Trump and Netanyahu are still live. I have some videos from before their meeting. Now they've had the meeting, and they're doing a press conference. So let's go live to this press conference now, and we'll comment on it and show you what else has been said today. But here's Benjamin Netanyahu and President of the United States, Donald Trump, speaking live from Mar-a-Lago. Let's watch.
We did to Iran, just to make the subject just slightly different, you wouldn't have peace in the Middle East. You wouldn't have a deal signed in the Middle East. You wouldn't have a deal because other Arab nations, which are great people. I know them very well. I know them. They're great people. They wouldn't be able to have agreed to peace in the Middle East because you would have had a dark cloud hanging over everything. It wouldn't have been possible. So Iran has been greatly reduced in power, prestige. I don't want to use the word humiliation because, you know, they're trying to build up again. But we can't let them build up because if they build up, there can't be peace in the Middle East. It was a mistake. You know, when they wiped out Iraq, Iraq and Iran were about the same power. And they fought each other with different names for 1,000 years. And then our country came out and blew up one of those two countries, namely Iraq. And all of a sudden, Iran had the whole Middle East all to itself. But that's not true anymore. That's not true anymore.
Tell us something about your plan to expand the Abraham Accords.
If you can tell us something
about your plan to expand the Abraham Accords.
Well, the Abraham Accords are a great achievement of Jared and everybody. I mean, it was one of the great achievements. They'll be expanded. Countries are already talking about expanding it, and they'll be expanded fairly quickly. Yeah, please.
What about Saudi Arabia? Is it still on the table, the normalization?
Saudi Arabia is great. We have a great leader and a friend of mine and a friend of a lot of people, also an enemy of some people, but those people aren't doing so well. No, Saudi Arabia has been very good, as far as I'm concerned. They've done everything that we can ask for.
But normalization with Israel is on the table?
They're getting along great with Israel. They will. And at some point, they'll sign the Abraham Accords.
Mr. President, we know.
So one of the big domestic tasks ahead of you is to pick a new chairman for the Fed.
Yeah.
You've said that you have one favorite, but you're also doing interviews.
Hasn't changed. Yeah, I'll announce them at the right time. There's plenty of time.
But
in the meantime, we're doing numbers that nobody's ever seen. We have $18 trillion coming in. We had a 4.3% GDP. They thought it was going to be 2%. And that's despite the Democrat shutdown. Had the shutdown not occurred, we would have had an extra 1.25%. Think of that. We are doing, and also despite the fact that we have a fool at the Federal Reserve. I mean, Biden reappointed him, and it's too bad. You would have thought he wouldn't have done that. But he's an absolute fool who's building a new Federal Reserve, or he's doing a renovation of a building. Maybe he's up to $4.1 billion to do a renovation of a few very small buildings. It's the highest price in the history of construction. He's spending more money than any building has ever spent per square foot on the renovation of, as an example, I'm doing a magnificent, big, beautiful ballroom that the country has wanted, the White House has wanted for 150 years. It's a massive job, and it's a tiny fraction of that number.
All right,
and we're under
the
budget.
Again. If the crew can listen in to this, and we can pipe back in if he actually starts talking about Iran and Israel again, since that is clearly the reason for Netanyahu's visit. Try to pressure that again. And as we mentioned last week, they are having to change their tactic from expressing a very, very sincere and legitimate concern about the immediate completion of the Iranian nuclear bomb to, okay, well, that doesn't really work anymore. I mean, Trump is saying, well, if they start to build back up, we'll have to hit them again. It's like, then what was the point of hitting them the first time? Like, what? So we're just going to, every 6 months, we're just going to bomb Iran's nuclear facilities. They're just going to let us do that. Like, this kind of doesn't make any sense. But basically, Israel is saying, the whole nuclear, Iran nuclear specter, it's very useful for like scaring Americans. Hey, these people chant death to America and they could potentially have a bomb. Isn't that scary? Doesn't that qualify? Doesn't that justify military action? It just didn't really work. It just didn't really have the oomph it used to because we've fallen for this multiple times and we're not falling for it anymore. So now they're moving over to the ballistic missiles. Now, we've explained forever, like, you can't shut down Iran's ballistic missile production. That doesn't even makes sense. They have literally giant underground cities of ballistic missiles. How are you going to tell a country? Like, nuclear weapons, I sort of get it. There's something extra crazy, right? Especially with the threat of miniaturized nukes. You don't want a rogue country having nuclear weapons and able to, smuggle them into American cities in a briefcase, a bomb that could take out several city blocks. Like, that's a real danger over, above, and beyond your average just, non-nuclear munitions. But now they're going after the non-nuclear munitions. Now they're telling Iran they have to stop producing missiles. How is that? What type of demand is that? So you're essentially saying surrender rather than go to war. Like, just be defeated rather than fight. It's like, that's not... No, they have these ballistic missiles. They still have them. Are they saying something about Israel and Iran here? Or are they just leaving? Trump says U.S. would back strikes against Iran's missile program. So Trump's going along with it. Right? Well, we have to go after Iran. Nuclear weapons, after all. We got to stop the nukes. Okay, we did it. We stopped the nukes. Mission accomplished. 6 months later, we're going back. We got to do it again. Now it's the missiles that are the real problem. And it's just like, When are we just going to stop doing the bidding of this little country? Like, when are we just going to, like, go fight your own wars? Go be destroyed by Iran ballistic missiles. We don't care. Do whatever. Of course, we explain what happens. Israel goes and says, basically, we're going to start a nuclear war if you don't come in and help us. And for some reason, we give in to that rather than seeing it as the obvious blackmail threat that it is and understanding that Israel is, in fact, our true enemy. That's the way an enemy treats you. Let's go to some of these clips from before the meeting. This is from earlier on at Mar-a-Lago. We'll go first to clip number two here. This is Trump asking for, once again, the Israeli president to pardon Benjamin Netanyahu, Israeli prime minister. Let's watch.
The president of Israel needs to give the prime minister
a pardon. I think he will. How do you not? He's a wartime prime minister who's a hero. How do you not give a pardon? I think it's a very hard thing not to do it. I spoke to the president, and he tells me it's on its way.
Mr. President,
you can't do better than that, right?
Please. He tells me it's on its way. He's a wartime president. Yeah, because he started a war. What are you talking about? He's a wartime president because he ordered a stand down on October 7th and allowed all these people to be kidnapped in order to justify the invasion of Gaza that they've wanted forever. Like, what do you mean he's a wartime president? Every Israeli prime minister is always a wartime president because they're always at war with everybody. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? Oh, he started a war with Hamas, therefore he's not guilty of the things he was convicted for. Oh, okay. Cool. Wish we could stop being humiliated by these people. That'd be great. Clip number three here. This is, again, Trump just going right along with the, Israeli dog leash. Okay, it was all about nuclear weapons. Well, We're changing it up. Now it's about ballistic missiles. Yes, sir. Now we're going to war over ballistic missiles. That's the big threat now. Doesn't matter. Just whatever new excuse they can come up with. Let's go to clip number three here.
Will you support an attack, Israeli attack on Iran, if Iran will not have a deal? If Iran will continue with their ballistic missiles and also nuclear weapons?
If they will continue with the missiles, yes. The nuclear, fast. Okay? One will be yes, absolutely. The other was, we'll do it immediately.
Okay. Yes, and the other is fast. So yes. So basically we're going to go bomb the Iranian ballistic missile sites. Okay, but he wants to talk to Iran. But we are going to bomb the missile sites. Although we may do it slow, but we'll do it faster if it's nuclear. I feel like what gets lost in this is anybody asking the question, why? Why is America involved in any of this? Why would we care? Why are we trying to fight Iran? They used to answer that by saying, well, it's a nuclear weapon. They'll attack America with it. Okay, we're not talking about that anymore. So the question now needs an answer. Why? But why, though? Ballistic missiles aren't a threat to us. They may be a threat to our forces in the region, which I guess would beg the question, why do we have so many forces in the region that are within striking distance of Iran? Like, what are we doing here? And why? And this is obviously about things a lot bigger than the war with Iran. It's about World War III. It's about the New World Order. And I don't know, maybe we need to like start over from the beginning to explain to everybody like what's going on here. And I am going to do this a little bit in the next segment because I'm going to talk about libtards. I'm going to talk about retarded liberals and really break down what's going on in their minds. It's disturbing, but informative. Because a lot of like the left wing, they're right about what they think for one step. And then you try to take a step beyond that and it's just chaos and stupidity. You've got to be able to take a few extra steps and understand that like what's happening in Israel, it's not about Israel. It's about creating a state that will serve as the capital of the globalist superstate. It's about eliminating nationalism as a concept for everywhere in the world except for Israel, whose nationalism and, you know, ethnic apartheid state will be unquestionable, but everybody else will be completely deracialized and turned into mush, basically. So that's what it's really about. And a lot of what we're seeing go on is all pushing towards that ultimate, you know, planned New World Order system, the setup there. You know, there's a clip. Actually, let's go to clip number one here. I believe this is what I'm thinking of. I'll pull this out. But here's clip number one. This is Trump again appearing to greenlight new attacks on Iran while meeting with Netanyahu. But he makes some other statements I want to comment on as well. Let's watch.
Look, he's a wartime prime minister. He's done a phenomenal job. He's taken Israel through a very dangerous period of trauma. Israel with other people might not exist right now, if you want to know the truth. That's a pretty big statement, but it's true. I feel that. You had the wrong prime minister. Israel right now would not exist because they were met with a force the likes of which very few countries could have handled. And we worked together, and we were extremely victorious, to put it mildly. Now I hear that Iran is trying to build up again, and if they are, we're going to have to knock them down. We'll knock them down. We'll knock the hell out of them, but hopefully that's not happening. I heard Iran wants to make a deal. If they want to make a deal, that's much smarter. You know, they could have made a deal the last time before we went through, you know, a big attack on them, and they decided not to make the deal. They wish they made that deal. So I think, again, they should make a deal. They want to make a deal, but sometimes that doesn't happen. Yeah, please.
Mr. Tarbay, Nadavili Melech, I-24 News, Israel. Would you support the overthrow of the Iranian regime?
Of who?
Iranian regime.
I'm not going to talk about overthrow of a regime. It's, they've got a lot of problems that are in. They have tremendous inflation. Their economy is bust. Their economy is no good. And I know that people aren't so happy, but don't forget, every time they have a riot or somebody forms a group, little or big, they start shooting people. You know, they kill people. And the people tend to
I've watched this for years. There's tremendous discontent. They form 100,000, 200,000 people. All of a sudden, people start getting shot. And that group disbands pretty quickly. So I've watched it for years. They're vicious, vicious people, yeah.
Mr. President, will you support an attack, Israeli attack on Iran, if Iran will not have a deal? If Iran will continue with their ballistic missiles and also nuclear weapons?
If they will continue with the missiles, yes, the nuclear, fast. Okay. One so will again, be yes, absolutely. The
there's
other
there's subtleties going on here, right? He starts off by saying basically Israel wouldn't exist without us. So in part and ostensibly, he's playing himself up as the savior of Israel. We rescued as we fought with them, and they might not even exist. That's just how powerful what they were up against. Okay, he's pumping himself up as the savior of Israel, also kind of humiliating for Israel. You know, you guys would be dead if it wasn't for us, right? You know, you owe your existence to us. Again, kind of a slap across the face. But so, you know, again, a part of this is like, all right, Trump is like, that's sort of the perfect statement from Trump. He's talking about doing Israel's bidding. He's celebrating himself as the savior of Israel. He's bragging about this at the same time. He's sort of undercutting Israel in a way, sort of reminding them that, you know, they can't do it without us. But then you've got other things like this from the InfoWars story. Netanyahu meets with Trump amid Gaza peace plan. Trump says he hopes Israel can move into the second phase of the White House brokered Gaza peace plan as quickly as we can. But there has to be a disarmament. We'll have to disarm with Hamas. It's one of the things we'll talk about quickly, but there has to be a disarming of Hamas, otherwise very quickly. And he keeps talking about, you know, Hamas is and Lindsey Graham is making statements about this, saying, you know, I've been to Gaza and I've seen that Hamas is not disarming in the way that they agreed to. And it's like, all right, have you looked into what Israel's doing? Israel has killed on average 2 people a day during the entire ceasefire. They've killed over 700 relatives of Palestinian journalists in Gaza, not including the hundreds of or at least dozens of journalists they've deliberately killed. Netanyahu calls for armed Jewish security forces worldwide. That ties into the Greater Israel Project. From Lee Camp at Redacted, at Lee Camp on X. Nothing to see here, just Israel building 13 military outposts in and around the 58% of Gaza they've stolen. But yeah, it was about the hostages, right? So Israel is supposed to leave from Gaza. They haven't left from Gaza. There's supposed to be a ceasefire. They haven't stopped firing. They're supposed to, you know, again, return Gaza back to the Gazans and exit the entire area, but instead they're building 13 military outposts in the area around Gaza. And we can go to .cam to see that map, guys. Trump's Gaza peace plan apparently involves a foreign force to finish the job, including American boots on the ground there. So, okay, is there even a ceasefire? And if there is a ceasefire, which side is not sticking to it? I mean, it just this doesn't make any sense. Hamas is supposed to disarm, but Israel continues to bomb refugee camps and building military outposts. You can't have it both ways. You can't demand that they stick to the agreement that you've completely incinerated. That doesn't make any sense. But then on top of that, there's this push to use this conflict, including the rash of anti-Semitic terrorist attacks around the world, to create basically a super class of humans that are above all law. And it's a little bit disturbing, but it's definitely being implemented at a very rapid pace. Talk about it more on the other side. Stay with us.
I want to talk to you all right now about something beyond important. And it's about a choice that you have to make. And that's not hype. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars has been under unprecedented attack for really 15 years, intensifying when Obama, in 2013, serially listed us as a terrorist organization for destruction by the CIA and FBI that was declassified earlier in the year by the Trump administration. I'm all over the Crossfire Hurricane. I'm all over the Arctic Frost as one of the main people to be taken out by the deep state itself. And the reason for that is we have the information, I have the background, I have the research, I have the guest, I have the crew, we have the giant audience. They tune in and they cannot stand what they hear being discussed on this broadcast. So when you spread the word about this broadcast, when you pray for this broadcast, when you share the articles and videos and reports or take them and make clips yourself and share them, this belongs to you as much as it belongs to me. When you do that, You are the amplification system. Again, you're not part of the fight. You are the fight. And when you support this operation financially, you allow us to stand up against the Paul Weiss law firm, the top Democrat law firm in the country, and we are having major victories against them. We've held them off, shutting us down, as you've seen, intensely the last few years, and it is just a knockdown, drag-out operation. But regardless, the Alex Jones store, thealexjonesstore.com, is not owned by me, it's owned by Bigley. It's funding InfoWars and the fight and the crew and the operation and the bandwidth and everything. And it's funding the Alex Jones Network backup that's been built. So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free on almost every supplement we've got. A few of them we can't because of methylene red, a small shipment came in. It's going to sell out probably today. So, and this is the key. You don't just buy one of one type and get the same one free. That's the usual deal. You can buy any supplement and buy any other supplements. You can buy a $20 supplement and buy a $45 one free. You understand? So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultra Methylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Cardiovascular Detox, Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate Turmeric, 95% curcuminoid. Ultimate Power Drink Mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate Power Drink Mix, two great flavors now available at thealexjonesstore.com. High-quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. Atomic Defense. Incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn. Safe, healthy, metabolic, great turn up to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra. Great for your brain. The Tallow Balm. We never talk about enough. Optimal Human. The ultimate green drink. You've heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at thealexjonesstore.com. And it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do it without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. We got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.
Now, back to our program.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. Please do share those links. Follow us on X. You can follow me at Harrison A. Smith. I just got invited to a space. Candace Owens, I guess, is doing a space tonight at 7:30. I'm a little bit torn on whether or not I'll do it, for one thing. I have a birthday dinner tonight, and I kind of just don't feel like doing it. But the other thing is that I don't think it will help, because it doesn't really matter what you say. Like, it's bizarre. Now, I'm not going to get into it right here. Maybe we'll touch on it a little bit more in the second hour. But we got Somali fraud to get into, and we've got immigration and the Ukraine war, and we'll be interviewing Casey Putsch in the third hour. So I don't really want to get into it right now. But it's just, the whole thing is nonsensical to the point that it doesn't feel productive to even participate in it. Like yesterday, this guy, Evan Kilgore, who I guess has been really, you know, into the whole Candace investigation the whole time and is one of her sort of, underlings on X, promoting her stuff. And he comes out with this long, like really long post basically explaining why he doesn't buy the whole Mitch Snow Fort Huachuca story. And so I comment on it just being like, this is so weird. It's weird that this has developed in a conspiracy theory that, like, you have to apologize for not agreeing with one of the suppositions, one of the pieces of evidence. Like, that's never happened before. There's never been a, you know, conspiracy theory of this level that is seemingly owned by one person. Candace Owens dictates what the investigation is, and if you disagree with her, you're out, and you're now, you know, by virtue of disagreeing with her, part of the establishment, and you've sold out, and you're completely against everybody now. And it's like, it's in the case with 9/11, it's not the case with Las Vegas. Well, in the case with Sandy Hook, I mean, everybody gets to speculate, everybody can have different views, and that's never been an issue before. So what is it about this particular issue that has become like this? It's weird. It's weird. It doesn't make any sense, especially since Evan Kilgore writes this whole long post being like, I don't hate Candace. I'm not trying to try. I'm just saying this whole Mitch Snow thing, not really the right trail to go down. And then Candace Owens' response is like, oh, so you were coordinating this. You were coordinating this attack, weren't you? And it's like, and she's like, why don't you show us your chat logs? Tell us who you're talking to. It's like, who the hell are you? What are you even talking about? What? Why would he owe you anything? Why are you treating this like you're an inquisitor? It just doesn't make any sense. So anyway, I comment on that and just go, hey, this is weird. And I'm commenting about Evan and his post. Now she's being treated as Queen Bee. And then Candace Owens responds, talking about Alex Jones and posting screenshots of Alex Jones' tweets. And then, like, under her, there's all these comments being like, that's why we love Candace. Just, like, straight to the point, provides receipts. And it's like, she is not responding to what I said. I don't know if she even read what I said, because she just responded about something entirely different. So, and then everybody's like, yeah, Candace, you got him. And it's like, I didn't even mention Alex Jones. I wasn't even talking about Alex Jones. I was talking about Evan Kilgore. I'm talking about how weird it is that he has to do this, like, mea culpa, because he disagrees with a piece of evidence that Candace herself is like, I'm 50-50 on this. Like, what is going on? It's very weird. It's very weird. So that's the type of thing where it's like, you post something, it's very clear. I'm talking about Evan Kilgore, his post. Don't even mention Alex. Candace responds as if I'm talking about Alex. Responds with a bunch of stuff about Alex. And then acts like she won the argument. It's like, I didn't even mention Alex. What are you even talking about? So why, like, so what would be the benefit of me participating in a space so I can make cogent, intelligent, logical points for you just to pretend I didn't say it, pretend I didn't say anything, and just start arguing against things that I've never said and don't agree with, and then putting a gold star on yourself saying you won the argument that I wasn't having? Why would I do that? Why would I participate in that? I might. I still might. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. We'll see how I feel at 7:30, but what would be the point? What would be the point? Are you going to convince me? I mean, it's almost, I mean, it is funny in a way, the way people are treating this, where it's like, Mitch Snow, the guy that brought down Alex Jones, you know, the deep state couldn't do it. The most highly paid lawyers in the entire world couldn't even slow him down. Big tech, in a combined fashion, kicking us off every single platform in a single day, didn't even serve as a speed bump in our operation. But it's hero whistleblower Mitchell Snow, his bombshell, devastating revelation. And obviously it's going to lead to a domino effect that tears down not just TPUSA, but the American and probably Israeli government, and anybody who stood in Candace's way will be, you know, destroyed as they justly deserve. It's like, what are you talking about? Here's my promise. Here's my guess. Like, I can't promise this, but here's my supposition. I'll give it 2 months. I mean, this is such a big thing. I will go at him. I will extend my prediction. I was going to say 1 month. 2 months, nobody will be talking about Mitch Snow. Nobody will be talking about Fort Huachuca. Nobody will be talking about any of this, because it doesn't mean anything, because it's not anything. No one's going to remember any of this in 2 months. That's my prediction. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is the string that you start pulling and unravels the whole sweater. That'd be great. It's not going to happen. No one's going to remember this. It's going to go nowhere. It's not going to be anything. And I'm pretty confident in saying that because I've been following Candace Owens investigation. It never goes anywhere. Nothing ever comes of anything. So here we are. Here we are 3 months later. Nothing tangible. Nothing to actually sink your teeth into. No verifiable claims. No working theory of the assassination. Just endless speculation about things that I can't even figure out what the importance is supposed to be. So anyway, we'll see. Maybe I'll talk about it at 7:30. Maybe not. Probably not. Probably not, if I had to guess. So let's get back into what we were just talking about. I'm going to finish up here with the Israeli stuff and then talk about, sort of combine it with the general stupidity of liberals and leftists and what a unfortunate barrier to our unity that is going to serve to be. But Netanyahu came to America, obviously, to try to get us once again into war with Iran, as is our tradition, as is our monthly tradition for Netanyahu to try to get the American golem to go fight his battles for him. And we have to resist. And for some reason, this dance goes on and on. But he was here doing other stuff. Benjamin Netanyahu, Elon Musk discuss AI cooperation. Musk and Netanyahu hold virtual meeting to, quote, catapult Israel into a global leader in artificial intelligence. Last night, I held a joint conference with Florida from Florida with entrepreneur Elon Musk, Minister of Transportation Miri Regev, and the head of National AI headquarters, Erez Askel. And this is Netanyahu tweeting this out. I spoke at length with Musk about promoting and developing artificial intelligence technologies in Israel. And I said in our conversation, we intend to catapult Israel and turn it into a global leader in the field, just as we did with cyber and other technologies. So this is the real war. Now, as we pointed out, not only has Israel launched a quote unquote eighth front war to take over the American information sphere through taking over or pressuring social media companies to, censor on Israel's behalf. They've also launched, takeover of major news corporations like CBS News. They've taken over TikTok as part of the negotiations with China. That's why we're taking 600,000 Chinese students so Israel can own TikTok and TikTok can stop uploading videos of their endless crimes. But it's not just about America. It's about the world. It is a worldwide eighth front, where they are using attacks, a lot of times by Muslims, to carve out for themselves special privileges, special security guarantees, and millions or billions of dollars in funding to protect Jews all over the world, wherever they happen to be. And we explain this, after the Bondi Beach shooting. You have this major push, do another gun buyback. They're going to severely, once again, limit or curtail gun ownership in Australia, except for the Jewish groups. Except the Jewish groups get a special dispensation. There are special armed Jewish security groups that not only will be allowed to carry guns, are being given millions of dollars by the Australian government to carry guns. So that, to me, is a really sort of perfect example of the way this rolls out. You have white Christian Australians mad that they are having their country given away to a bunch of Muslim migrants. The Muslim migrants, who are supported by the state and, given caveats themselves by the state, kill a bunch of Jewish people. And then the government's response is to crack down on the white Christian people who were protesting against the Islamic immigration that led to the attack, while giving extra, benefits and specific carve outs to Jewish groups because they're the victims of the crime. And this happens in the same thing in the UK when white people are attacked by Muslim immigrants. It's, we have to hold hands and come together, and we're arresting any white people who speak out against it. And we certainly will crack down on any white people trying to do anything about it. When a Jewish group gets attacked, it's Jews must feel safe in the UK. We have given them millions of dollars in special security. We are assigning official government agents to escort Jews to and from holiday parties, Hanukkah parties, things like that. Again, it's not even about that being a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. If you have a group of people that are being targeted, it makes sense to give them special carve-outs. It's the discrepancy. It's the hypocrisy. It is the inequality of the fact that when white people are targeted, they are punished. And when Jews are targeted, they are rewarded, empowered, and protected. multiply that over and over and over again, what you end up with is a caste system with Jews on top and everybody else on bottom. And that is what they're trying to create. I'm not trying to be hysterical about this. It's just this has been slowly being cobbled together for a while, and I feel like we need to be talking about this. Because it has to do with AI. It has to do with media coverage. It has to do with all of this stuff and the attacks that, you know, are fostered by the Muslim immigrants that come in largely thanks to the efforts of Jewish groups in the first place. So it's, you know, a crisis reaction solution operation that's being run worldwide, and it's fairly obvious. Well, let's start with clip number 7 here, because this is Anna Kasparian of the Young Turks. She uncovered YouTube, and we'll sort of start off with the information sphere aspect of this, which is the sort of first thing you need to establish. First, you need to establish the control of the media, control of, you know, information as a prerequisite before you can carry out the other corrupt activities, because obviously you don't want people finding out about that. So first you have to be able to censor that information, get that apparatus in place first, then the real corruption can begin. So YouTube is doing this, working on Israel's behalf and quietly deleting channels that show the truth about what's happening in Palestine. Here's Anna Kasparian reporting.
It looks like YouTube has quietly deleted more than 700 videos that document Israeli human rights violations, war crimes, and other abuses as part of an effort by our government here in the United States to essentially bury evidence of Israel's war crimes in Gaza and the West Bank. Now, according to reporting from The Intercept, YouTube surreptitiously deleted all these videos in early October by wiping the accounts that posted them from its website, along with their channel's archives. The accounts belong to three prominent Palestinian human rights groups, Al-Haq, Al-Mezan, Center for Human Rights, and the Palestinian Center for Human Rights. These three YouTube channels hosted hours of footage documenting and highlighting alleged Israeli government violations of international law in both Gaza and the West Bank. And it's really important to have that record because, as we know, the Hasbara coming from Israel is strong. Our politicians are bought, and oftentimes bought on behalf of Israel, on behalf of doing favors for Israel. And I don't want what has happened over the last 2 years to be misrepresented in history books in the future. I want documentation of the war crimes that have been committed. But there is a very real effort, and a successful effort at that, to essentially wipe the internet of these videos. So the deleted videos range in scope from investigations, such as an analysis of the Israeli killing of American journalist Shireen.
All right, so you get the point. YouTube's on board. YouTube is doing the bidding, removing hundreds of videos on, you know, explaining Israel's war crimes. Let's go now to clip number 36. This was discovered also happening in Meta. Of course, Meta, we know, I think it was Jordana Cutler, I believe is her name, just got appointed as their Jewish diaspora chief. And basically she says, you know, the first things we did was change definitions so that anti-Zionism is now being treated as anti-Semitism, and anti-Semitism isn't being treated as bigotry. It's not under the bigotry heading. It's under the hate heading. So therefore can be, you know, silenced even more. Basically just going out and bragging about taking over Facebook's censorship program to, you know, silence the truth about what's being done there. But it goes farther than that. Let's go to clip number 36 now.
Hey guys, I wanted to share something with you that happened today that I thought was pretty interesting, and I wanted to put a spotlight on it for you. So this is a new feature that I just discovered myself, but apparently Meta now, and Instagram specifically, allows you to set specific topics that you are either interested in or things that you are not interested in for your algorithm. So basically you can kind of set your own algorithm on the topics that you like and what you want to see more of and what you don't want to see a lot of. And funny enough, as you can expect, I was going in through my algorithm, and it had a lot of stuff about New York City. It had parenting hacks because it's that time of year, and man, I need a lot of help with the parenting these days. But it also had, you know, some dining and food stuff, which I'm pretty interested in. And so I was like, you know what, let me see if I can add some tabs for some other topics that I'm interested in. And so I tried to create a tab for, you know, the Middle East. I keep tabs on what's going on there a lot, so I like to kind of stay abreast of all the developments. So I created a tab for Israel, and it let me do that. And then I wanted to add a tab for Gaza and Palestine, and it said these topics are not supported. And so I tried that again and again, and you can see, as I'm showing you there on my screen, it just wouldn't let me create a tab for Gaza and Palestine. And it had me thinking a little bit about how important the algorithm is to what we're able to see on a daily basis. You know, a lot of organizations, Human Rights Watch, tech organizations have been tracking this topic and have talked about how big companies and algorithms suppress content.
All right, so Meta's doing it too. So we got Google doing it, Facebook, obviously Meta, Instagram, they're doing it to, you know, get an even greater degree. You actually can't go in and say that you want to hear about these things. They'll algorithmically keep you from doing that. X is doing this as well. Let's go to clip number 9 here. We can play it as B-roll, and we keep the audio down. I believe this is from Project Constitution. But they reveal in the X source code, the algorithm code, basically it judges you, and it judges your tweet, and it, you know, has different ways that it weighs its, you know, scoring of you and this sort of stuff. And so what you're seeing here is it has an account name, Holland Citizen. It's been tagged for hate and harassment, but it has protected categories that are Jewish ethnicity and Jewish religion. So that weighs it less. So it's like, yeah, he says things that are offensive, but it's counterbalanced by the fact that he's a part of this group that doesn't really have to adhere to the same rules that everybody else does. So again, this is one of the ways that the algorithm has been manipulated. And of course, I've shown this as well, where you have Grok being asked about a map that Harmless Yard Dog put up, and it immediately says, this is an anti-Semitic map. It's mapping Chabad Lubavitch places. And it's like, no, this is just a map of Houston with like traffic lights on it. And so we asked Grok, why did you say it revealed? Well, you know, Harmless Yard Dog has been tagged basically as suspicious. So it just basically confronts his tweets as if with the understanding and on the presumption that he's anti-Semitic. So that's what it filters everything through. So we know these algorithms are being manipulated and changed to weigh certain people more than others, weigh certain topics more than others, to spread certain information more than others. That, of course, has been well publicized and bragged about. So again, none of this is even a conspiracy theory, because none of it's hidden, none of it's secret. Like, they're just doing this. I just want to try to show you how they're doing it in so many different ways that it's like, what is the ultimate result of all of this? And it's pretty obvious. It's that there's this superstructure being built. There's a class or caste system worldwide being established where some are worth protecting, some are worth telling the truth about, and some aren't. Let's go to clip number 33 here. These are Israel's own leaders talking about taking over America's media outlets. Let's go to clip number 33 here.
Here's the bottom line.
What?
And I want to say this clearly. I want to say this clearly and without interruption. Israel's war stopped being on Hamas a long time ago. Israel's war is on the American First Amendment. Israel's biggest threat to its existence is free speech and people being exposed to the factual evidence of the war crimes that Israel is committing in real time. And that is why every time information is being freely shared about Israel's war crimes, the first immediate action that pro-Israel forces do in America is try to take ownership of that media. We see that happen with CBS. Just a week ago, Ben Shapiro was at a conference where he was openly bragging and thanking the capture of CBS by a pro-Zionist owner. Right now, as we speak, TikTok is in an ongoing deal to be owned by some of the most Zionist pro-Israel voices that the country has. And even your own leader, Netanyahu, was talking to a room of influencers calling TikTok the new weapon of war, and that he is so excited and can't wait for TikTok to transfer ownership to American owners so that they can censor people even more. The only chance that Israel has in this PR war is to try to completely curtail and annihilate the American First Amendment and American free speech. We are even gutting free speech on college campuses and destroying the American education system in order to silence criticism of Israel. There's an absolute rupture and there's our destruction of American society, all at the expense of protecting Israel's genocide.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is all factual and confirmed, and it's out in the open, and your own leaders brag about this.
They actually brag about it and talk about it pretty openly. It's just, if you're in favor of it, it's fine, but if you're against it, you're a vicious anti-Semite. I mean, all of these things, whether it's the adopting of the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, that includes anti-Zionism, so then you say, okay, all anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. Oh my God, there's a giant spike in anti-Semitism. And then attack against Jewish people. You say, you know, this requires a special carve out where they get protection. And this is happening. We can go again to clip number 37. Here's Netanyahu, you know, not calling for gun control in Australia, calling for armed Jews and Jewish groups in particular to protect Jews in Australia from the consequences of mass immigration. Let's watch Netanyahu, clip number 37.
Just imagine if you had on that beach, on that Hanukkah gathering, if you had several armed guards, 10, 15, even five, it would be over. Mm. That's what we've seen time and again in Israel, time and again. And that saves the day. And I think that's required right now. The world has changed. Recognize the change.
From DD_geopolitics on X, Netanyahu calls for armed Jewish security services worldwide, and some agree. In a recent interview, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu explicitly argues for deploying armed Jewish security guards globally, modeled on Israel's own armed settler security doctrine. Referring to Hanukkah gathering attack, he claims 5 to 15 guards would have ended it immediately. This is not an off-the-cuff remark. It aligns directly with a December 2025 Israel Hayom op-ed calling for the creation of a, quote, Jewish People's Guard. The guard is described as a permanent global security structure operating across borders, coordinated with Israel, the U.S., and allied governments, and integrated with local law enforcement. Notice the overtly militarized language. Jewish communities are described as being on the front line, requiring rapid response units, unified protocols, intelligence sharing, and preemptive identification for incitement processes before they turn violent. Front line of what? Rapid response units? The vision is already being partially implemented in Australia. Reporting has confirmed that the Community Security Group, a Jewish security organization with direct training links to Israel, is seeking expanded authority to carry weapons. A member told investigators the group had functioned as a recruiting ground for Israeli intelligence. So this is what's being created, is a global, again, superstructure, you know, managed out of Israel, that will, you know, provide armed security and intelligence security specifically for Jewish citizens the world over, sort of as an extra government on top of their own government, while their own governments fail to serve the people that they're actually supposed to. It's a giant conspiracy, and it's being developed right in front of us.
So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free. So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultramethylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox, Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate Turmeric, 95% curcuminoid, Ultimate Power Drink Mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate Power Drink Mix, two great flavors now available at TheAlexJonesStore.com. High-quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. It's a private label, one of the top NAD Plus products in the country. Atomic Defense, incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn, to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra, great for your brain. The Tallow Balm, we never talk about enough. Optimal Human, the ultimate green drink. You've heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at thealexjonesstore.com, and it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. We got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.